So we finished the Mishnah yesterday. We're on Kuf Yud Chas Amud Aleph at the end of the Mishnah. Something Gemara. Now, in the halacha of the first halacha of the Mishnah was Achas Emeres Meis, the Achas Emeres Loi Meis. Two co-wives come in Dinas Hayam. One says died, and one says not died. So the Mishnah said the one who said died can get married. The one who said he didn't die cannot get married. Now, our problem is, even if the second wife said nothing, she can't get married because we said ain't tzara meidin l'chaverta. So what's the chiddush of loy meis? Agas and maris meis, and the other one keeps quiet. The one that said meis can get married, and the one that said loy meis, the one that kept quiet, can't get married. We said that a tzara cannot be made l'chaverta. So for sure, if she says loy meis, we're not going to let her get married. The Mishnah says, two women come in, Rachel and Leah. They're married to Reuven. They're not related. They're two wives. Rachel says, Reuven died. Leah says, Reuven didn't die. So the Mishnah, Rachel can get married and Leah can't get married. What would happen if Rachel came in and said, Reuven died, and Leah says, I don't know. Leah still can't get married because we said, ain't sorry, me, look at
her. Maybe you think that the first one couldn't either.
Ain't sorry, me, look at her means you can't use a tzara to testify about her friend. Period.
When did we learn that? Right here.
We're one of the five women that can't testify about the other woman with a tzara. We don't believe a tzara about her other tzara.
So why do we need to repeat it here?
Why are we saying the case of Loy Mace, which makes it sound it's because of Loy Mace? It's not true. Something Gemara Loy Time and I'm Loy Mace. Ha Ishtika, if she kept quiet, Tinase, it's Mashma, that the second Tzara could get married. Right? You ain't Tzara me, the Lechaverta. One co-wife can't be made for the other one. Now, Tysus asks Dr. Harris's Kasha. So Tysus may be trying to tell me that the Loy Mace doesn't start the other one. Rachel comes in and says her husband died, and Leah says, no, he didn't. Maybe we should stop Rachel. That's Tyson's discussion. So Tyson says that the deer comes from the rest of the Mishnah. If you take a look at the Lashon HaMishnah, Agas Emeres Meis, V'Agas Emeres Loy Meis, Zutre Emeres Meis Tinasei. Just say, Agas Emeres Meis, V'Agas Emeres Loy Meis Tinasei. Why does the Mishnah have to speak out? Zusha meres meis tinasei. The Zusha meres loy meis loy tinasei. Now, obviously, if she says loy meis, it's loy tinasei. If the Mishnah were just telling me that the loy meis doesn't cancel out the meis, right? But you asked. Maybe the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush. Leah is saying loy meis, and we let Rachel get married. All the Mishnah would have to say is, Achas Emeres Meis, V'Achas Emeres Loy Meis, Tinasei V'Tinuk Subasa. We would never think that Rachel is Matur Leah when Leah is screaming Loy Meis. Obviously, we're only on Rachel. Why did the Mishnah have to say, the one who said Meis, better. The one who said Loy Meis can't get married. Well, obviously she can't get married. Even if she didn't say Loy Meis, she wouldn't be able to get married by Rachel's testimony. So what is the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah? That's what's bothering the Gemara. The Gemara, by the writing so much, the Mishnah seems to indicate it's because of the Loy Meis. Not true. Leah can't get married regardless. All would have to say in the Mishnah, Rachel said Meis, Leah said Loy Meis, marry. Obviously, we would understand that means Rachel. We would never think Leah gets married when she says Loy Meis. Even if Rachel doesn't say anything, even if Leah doesn't say anything, she can't use Rachel's testimony.
Why is they passing? Maybe the case is they passing already had Rachel.
But that's not the case in the Mishnah. That's not the case in the Mishnah. It seems from the Mishnah that we're saying a thing, that Leah can't get married because she says Loy Meis. Leah can't get married even if she kept quiet. That's the Yigit of Gemara. And for the Gemara, and I'm going to speak this out outside, and then we'll do it inside. Why is Leah saying Loy Meis? Let Leah keep quiet. Rachel wants to get married. Why is she saying Loy Meis?
She doesn't want to
What? So the question is she saying that because she doesn't want the other one to get married? I mean, it is. Tzaras hate each other. Whatever Leah's going to say is Leah's going to say. So why, just the mission, what is, why is Rachel meaning like this? What should happen is, she should keep quiet. She should keep quiet. Rachel says mace. Leah is not believed to get married anyway. Leah can't get married anyway. So it's Negea Leah. It's not Negea what Rachel said. Why is Rachel saying Leah mace? It's saying Loi Meis. So there's a svara to say, you know why she's saying Loi Meis? She's saying Loi Meis to prevent Rachel from getting married. You know what? I don't want Rachel to get married. Why should she enjoy life? I'm going to mess her up. Let her stay in Iguna. I'll have to stay in Iguna too, but I hate Rachel. So maybe the fact that Loi is talking, the Havamina, that she's talking, just to mess Rachel up, because which way? By saying Loi Meis, she says Rachel says Meis. Rachel will be able to get married. Now, if Leah were Mrs. Dacus, oh, how can I let Rachel get married? She's going to be never mess herself up. But they hate each other. We're not accusing of Leah being Mrs. Dacus trying to save Rachel. Terence is, the lumbus is, if I can say Loi Meis, Rachel can remain in Iguna. I can keep her in Iguna. I am going to have to remain in Iguna also. I hate Rachel so much, it's worth it for me. And we should say to Leah, we don't believe you, and we let you get married also, because you're only saying Loi Meis to mess up Rachel. And the answer is no.
Double jeopardy.
Double jeopardy, if that's the way it's called in English. He died. She doesn't mean it. She's doing it in order Rachel shouldn't be able to get married. But Thomas Napshin pushed him, Kamra. So now that we're not believing her, maybe she should be able to get married also. Kamash Malon, that we don't say that. We say she means Loi Meis, and therefore, she can't get married. Rashi. Loi Meis is Tzuchat Leis. I forgot the Ishaskim Shita Lundu Leis Tinas Tavedis Chavertom. Even though she kept quiet, for sure she wouldn't be able to get married. That even if she says Loi Meis, she can't get married. Why? The Maldetemek, even the Asim Arara. Why is she saying Loi Meis? Just keep quiet. Teretz is, Galia died in the Litzur Lutzarek of Asya. She's obviously trying to make life miserable for Rachel. Ula Agne Shloi Tinasek. But Thomas Napshin pushed him, Kavda. She says to herself, I'm not planning to get married anyway. I have to stick it to Rachel.
Misery loves company.
Look, he's history. Kamash Malon, that no. So again, if Leah were Mrs. Dacus, you wouldn't have this Havamina. You would say Leah's coming and saying, please, Rachel, don't get married. I know the husband's alive. But that's not the relationship between Taurus. Taurus, I don't have the relationship that Leah cares for Rachel's well-being. Taurus' relationship is that Leah doesn't care about Rachel's well-being. And the fact that she's saying Loi Meis, she didn't have to say Loi Meis. She can't get married anyway. Just keep quiet. Terry says she wants to keep Rachel from getting married. And therefore, we don't believe the Loi Meis. Kamash Malon, that we do.
She thinks her chances of getting married would be better if she said Loi Meis.
No. Oh. She thinks her chances of preventing Rachel is better by saying Loi Meis. But she doesn't really mean it.
She's trying to prevent her co-op from getting married.
She wants to ruin Rachel's life.
I thought Rashi was
indicted
that since they won't believe me.
No. She doesn't
allow
that.
Me to get married.
No. She's coming in to stick it to Rachel. And therefore, we won't trust her Loi Meis at all. And we would let her get married also. Had she kept quiet, we don't accept Rachel's testimony for Leah.
She
doesn't know this. She's not a lambda.
Oh.
She's not doing it.
The Kiddush is that we don't stay like that.
We don't let her get married.
We don't let her get married, even though.
We don't believe her.
Exactly.
She comes back later and say, without her partner, without her Tzara, and say, hey, you know what? I found out he's dead.
Yeah, I found out now that he's dead.
And she can go to a different basin altogether?
Again, I found out now that he's dead. Because a month ago I thought he wasn't dead. or I knew he was alive, doesn't mean he didn't die in the last month.
And does the Torah have to appear at court or anything? Or
why? Not a geyer. We believe Torah already. We told one lady came in and said mace. We told her she can get married.
A new case.
Yeah.
Like a new case.
Then sooner or later, everybody dies. That's the way life goes. And therefore, she can say, a month ago, I said Lloyd Mace, but he wasn't dead, but now he's dead. Don't think of my writer. Okay, so in the Mishnah, we had two cases. One was, Rachel said Mace, Leah said Lloyd Mace. We read Rachel can get married, and Leah can't get married. Nobody argued. Next case. Rachel says he died. Leah said he got killed. We had a machloikas. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon said they both can get married. They each believed about themselves. And Rabbi Meir says, since they're arguing with each other, nobody can get married. Why is that different than Mace and Loy Mace? Why, by the case of Mace and Loy Mace, does Rabbi Meir not argue? And in the case of Mace and Nerag, we don't let either of the two get married. Again, case one was Rachel said Mace, Leah said Loy Mace. The Mishnah said without argument, Rachel can get married, Leah can't. Next case, Rachel says he died, Leah said he got killed. The Mishnah has an argument. Rameir says neither can get married, and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say both can get married. Why isn't Rameir arguing in the ratio? Why is it different when she says Nerag than when she says Loy Mace? That's the Gemara's gotcha. Correct the Gemara. The Lifle Gemara, Akos Emer is Mace. The Lifle Gemara Beresha. Why doesn't he argue in the first case? Amar Ablazer B'machloi Kishluya. You're right, he does. He says that if Rachel says Mace and Leah says Loy Mace, oh, and Rachel will get married. That's what we say.
So Mare's going on the Risha as well.
Yes. He says if they're arguing, we don't accept Rachel even for herself. If Leah keeps quiet, Rachel's believed for herself, not for Leah. But if Leah says Loy Mace, we say, Rachel, we're sorry. We can't have you get married. Leah's saying Loy Mace. Just like if she said Nerak. That's what Reb Lazer says. Reb Yechon and Amar. Exactly. Reb Yechon and Amar. I feel the same with Reb Meir. Behold, I feel the Reb Meir made up. The whole Loy Mace made this Isha Lava Khoshi. Loy Mace doesn't mean anything. Now, I'm going to do something that I never do. Because I'm going to learn Tresis, not Rashi, because Rashi is a very sharp shot. I said I rarely do. I shouldn't say I never do. I rarely do. Tresis explains that when a woman says Mace and another one says Loy Mace, we have no reason to believe Leah versus Rachel. But when Rachel says Mace and Leah says Nerag, we say, maybe neither of the two saw anything. Each one thinks something else happened. It's worse than saying Loy Mace. It's conjecture. It says to us, like they're saying two different stories of his death.
Too much.
Therefore, like, maybe neither saw the whole thing. It's ma'ayr to us that to say Loy Mace, listen, you argue with your tzara, we don't believe you. But here, we're letting Rachel get married because she said Mace, and we're letting Leah get married because she said Nerak. Right? And each one's believed about themselves. And we say to ourselves, something is not adding up here. Because there's a reason to believe that they are not clear. Loy Mace we throw out because each one is believed for themselves. But to believe two versions of a story, Loy Mace we're not believing. We're just saying, hello, Rachel can't free you. But here we're freeing Rachel and we're freeing Leah. See, in the case when Rachel says Mace and Leah says Loy Mace, we say to Leah, listen, you're not believed about your tzara. Your tzara is believed about herself. You can't get married. She can. Right?
According to
we're saying now, Rabbi Yechon is saying everybody would agree to that.
No.
Right. He says over here it's worse. Because we're freeing Rachel and we're freeing Leah on two different stories.
We're employing the kula based on something that they have the reyesa.
Exactly. The loy mate is not considered a reyesa because the tzara is not believed about a friend. But when you're being matur both, Rachel because of her story and Leah because of her story, and the stories don't add up, it makes us feel that really nobody knows the story. We're explaining this according to a mayor. Exactly. That's what Rabbi Yechon is saying. For a woman to say loy mate, we ignore her. For a woman to say nerag, we're letting her get married. And if we're letting her get married, we're letting her get married, something's fishy here.
About the same moment in time also?
I don't know. One's coming and says mace, one's coming and says narrow.
In other words, one says mace, low mace, we saw him on Monday, and the one that says mace saw him on Tuesday dying.
Yeah, no, they're talking about Monday. He died on Monday, and the other one says, I saw him.
That's right, about the same moment.
Yes. I don't know, moment, same area. This is Tyson's and Stratton, the call they made.
What is?
We'll get to Rashi in a second. Dr. Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, I'm a filler tamer and mayor. Baha, I'm a filler and mayor invited. The whole and maze made this issue of Lava Kashi. Dr. Rashi, the Machloik is Shluya. Like a Sakurai Nafri Shain is Shluya. This is Rabbi Lazar talking. The white tamer is Stamma Dibri Akaili. The Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon is Abbi Charlie Makashi. The Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon talking. Lame maze Lava Kashi. The Rabbanan Hem Nuul Kama. Rashi says, because we give more credibility to the first one. When the first one says maize, and the second one says void maize, we give more credibility to the first one. It's mashma from Rashi that they're not coming in at the same time. Everybody jumps on Rashi. First one came in and said maize, and we believed her. Now the second one comes and says void maize, but we already believe the first one, we can't believe the second one. What? It's a mash from Rashi. And in the case of Mace and Nerag, came in and said Mace and we believed her. The second one came in and said Nerag, and we believe her too. And that is going to be a contradictory psakim, and therefore we're going to pull the psak on the first one. That's what Rashi seems to be saying.
Why would you pull the psak on that?
Because when she says Loy Mace, we believe that one Mace came first. She's more believed. But when the second one comes and says Nerag, we're trusting her to let her get married. On a different story than the first one. That's what Rashi seems to say. But we learned the Mishnah that if they came at the same time, what Rashi is saying now is that seeming this is the Kharinim's card, this is the Kash on Rashi. But that's what Rashi seems to say. Frank the Gemara by Titzanan. The end of the Mishnah, Eidam and Meis, Eidam and Loy Meis, came in at the same time. Isha Meres Meis, the Isha Meres Loy Meis, Harizu Loy Tinase. She should not get married. Now, Isha, says Rashi, Ishai Maris Loy Meis, Afilu Tarasa Mashma. The Gemara understands that the case of Isha and Isha is any woman, even one Tzara and the other Tzara. Again, Ishai Maris Meis, the Ishai Maris Loy Meis, Harizu Loy Tinase. The Gemara understands, let me just have 2 minutes. The Gemara understands that this case is any woman, even two Tzaras. Even non Tzaras, even Tzaras. And the Mishnah is saying she can't get married. Now, the beginning of the Mishnah said that one Tzara is believed to get married if the other one says no. Teretz is, the beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, and the end of the Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah, like Rabbi Meir. But that only works if Rabbi Meir argues on both cases. But according to Rabbi Yechonin, Rabbi Meir never argued on this case. And Isha, the Gemara assumes, means Tzaras also. So Bishlaimer Lura Blazer, stomach to Remeyer. The beginning of the Mishnah started off not like Remeyer. Remeyer argued, and he was going on the first case as well, then in the end of the Mishnah wrote a line like Remeir. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, Kasha, because Isha and Isha mean even Sarah, and the Gemara accept that. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not true. Zakta Gemara Kasha, we have no good answer.
Because why doesn't he just answer this? Isha, it means not a wife. When Isha, we use Achas. Achas this, Achas that. That's how we introduce the concept of a married woman to her own vow. Achas. Let's say you don't use Isha for a wife.
So the way they explain that is to say that to say it about Isha and Isha is redundant, because in the, we already said before.
She's just as good as any other.
Exactly. But it only says Kasha, it doesn't say Chufta. So the Rishonim speak out, we pass the Lord to be Yisraelim, and we say that it doesn't mean Tzara. The Gemara doesn't like that. The Gemara didn't say Chufta, right?
There is a difference here between that or that or this.
Oh, the Pashka sits together. We weren't matre, because if we were matre, the last mission said we wouldn't remove it. Okay. Dr. Mishnah Leiter. A woman, her and her husband, went to a faraway country. And she came and said, my husband died. Now we know that already. But the next line is the Chiddush. She's not believed in her Tzara. She's one of the five ladies that can't testify. Now what happens in the following scenario? They were both married to a Kayan. She comes in and says, my husband, Mr. Kayan, died. The other woman can't get married. Can she eat Truma? Rachel says her husband died. We tell Rachel you can get married. Tell Leah you can't get married. We don't trust Rachel vis-a-vis you. Now Leah says, okay, I want to eat Truma, Mrs. Kayan.
So we should eat Machmer.
But Rachel said her husband died. We didn't trust Rachel because we're afraid Rachel wants to mess Leah up. Is that enough to what happens vis-a-vis Truma now?
She herself shouldn't even get married, right? The other lady.
Rachel gets married.
And she stops eating Truma if she doesn't even marry a Kohen.
Absolutely. She stops eating Truma now. She's not married to a Kohen anymore. Her husband died.
It's not like he makes this star. She's not a star for him.
Okay, so you're postulating. That's the Shiloh of the Mishnah. Can Leah eat Truma? Are we not believing Rachel at all vis-a-vis Leah? We're saying as far as Leah is concerned, Rachel doesn't exist? And Leah proceeds with life as if Rachel never walked in? Or do we say we can't let Leah get married? But on the other hand, we're not going to let her eat Truma.
We're saying she's coming to mess her up?
Well, isn't that what we're saying?
That's why she's...
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, when Rachel comes in and testifies, she's believed for herself, she's not believed for Leah. Rachel gets married and we still won't let Leah get married.
Because
she might be messing up Leah. A Tzara will lie to mess up her Tzara. A Tzara will get married to mess up her Tzara. Hatred is a very strong emotion. Isn't that what the Mishnah said? Isn't that what the Mishnah said?
There's such a thing as Tzara's getting along and the Beis Din knows about it?
Again, doesn't make a difference. A Tzara is a Tzara. Human nature is the Tzara's don't get along.
That's why they're called
Tzara. That's why they're called Tzara. They're competing for attention from the same man. It's a very painful relationship to have a co-wife. A girl asked me in class, if the Torah has this covet for women, why did the Torah allow co-wives?
Different culture then.
No. The Torah is not different culture. We say the Torah says, Mechab de yaitse migufa. Right? This is a Gemara. We had it in Yavamah. You have to honor your wife more than you honor yourself. Again, Is that an honor to wife one to take wife two? That was the question the girl asked me, which I never answered, really, because I don't have, what am I supposed to tell her? The answer is, you're supposed to honor your wife, but that doesn't preclude you from taking a second one. If it's her problem that she's going to have to live with, you'll still honor her. But I can understand the question. It's a hard question. It's a hard thing to explain. Because
financially, though, back in the day, it was a man who...
I get it. The Torah doesn't change. I want to make that clear. Torah doesn't change. If there would be no Chayim Rabbein Gershon today, a P-Torah, you can marry 24 wives. Not really, 18.
If you take a survey of how many mother-in-laws hate their daughter, how many mothers hate their daughter-in-law?
More than 51%.
I don't think so. I think like you said, back then financially it was more of a threat because now they're kicking. I don't look around and say that most mothers hate their daughter-in-law. I don't see that.
Again, that my culture changed. I still don't think that welcome would change. I don't think so. I'm not sure. I hear your point. But one thing's sure. Tsaras. Co-wives. I don't think you're right. Have co-wives, so it's not a gay-ass.
I hear. The whole concept is a tough one.
That's what I said. See, we view marriage totally different than the Torah's approach to marriage. The Torah approach to marriage is not that husband and wife are under a joint account. And the wife has at least 50% of the day. You know the story of the guy, they said, anybody whose wife wears the pants in the family should line up in one row. So everybody lines up in that row, except one guy. I said, went over to him, why? He said, my wife told me I have to stand here.
Yeah.
You know, I love this. I love these questions because, again, I only say the following. Baruch Hashem, you don't have the emotion of hatred to anybody. Because if you did, I'd ask you the same question. How could you hate him? If you hated somebody, and I came over and I asked you, you'd give me a 5-minute answer why it doesn't apply to that person.
I said that. I'm talking about,
so that's what happens by Tzaret. They each have a 5-minute answer or longer of why that Tzaret doesn't deserve the Vahavta Racha Kamoicha.
In other words,
it is. That's a fact.
Right. And therefore,
we can't trust one for the other.
You can't say that about other things. What else do you have a blanket statement?
Well, the Mishnah said 5 women. Mishnah said 5 women that hate each other.
Yeah. Right. Some of them can't be helped. Some getting married.
Again, Dr. Harris is claiming that in today's culture, mothers-in-law don't hate sons and daughters-in-law. I know, my wife will tell me she doesn't hate her daughters-in-law. You know, that's what she tells me. There's no reason for me to be suspected she does. But then again, every woman will admit to you that a daughter and daughter-in-law are different.
Okay, that's
not a theorem, but it means it's not the same. Never the same.
Child, I mean,
exactly. Never the same. Okay. I mean, the Gemara says in Erevin, according to Wafati Amar, if you go spend Shabbos by your son, you don't give up your right to your house because your daughter might kick you out in the middle of the week, in the middle of Shabbos. Whereas it never says that about a daughter. It says you might go spend Shabbos by your son, to Shaila, whether you belong to that chutzah, you have to be mishtatav in the Erev, but not be mishtatav in the Erev. The Gemara says, one month the Amar says, if you go to your son, you better be mishtatav in the Erev back home in your chutzah, because you might end up there in the middle of Shabbos because your daughter will kick you out of the house. That's a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Again, I don't know. I hear the point, but I don't know. Okay, talk to Mishnah Baita. Chaisabasi Tzorla Kayan Taichol B'Truma Devir Tarfin. Tarfin says she eats Truma. We don't believe Rachel for Leah. Leah can eat Truma. Rabbi Kiva, I mean, you're not saving her Avera. I say, Asur Li Nasav Asur Melech B'Truma. She's us in a boat. Amra meis b'ayli v'akach meis chami. In walks a woman, says, my husband died. And as you know, A week later, my father-in-law, I went with them on a trip to China. My husband died. And a week later, my father-in-law died. So she wants to permit herself to get married and her, according to her, former mother-in-law. We don't believe her. We don't believe a daughter-in-law about a mother-in-law. Even though she claims she's no longer her mother-in-law. Halacha is, Tinasa Batituk Subato, she gets married to Chamay Tassura. Hai Sabati Shal Lekai and Tayachum Batruma, Nibir of Tarfin. The Bekivai may ain't to Tayachum Batruma Me'avera. Actually, Tassura Linasa Batruma Lekai Batruma. Mother-in-law can't eat Truma. The bottom line is, we're not sure that the daughter-in-law is lying. And therefore, if Tarfin says, halachically, the testimony about the mother-in-law is zero. We heard nothing. And Rabbi Kiva says, we heard it. We can't accept it, but we have to deal with it. That's the machlokes.
In other words, because of the Matthias, can't believe the
No, because the Guna, we believe a woman about herself because of the consequence.
She's leaving her mother-in-law in the Guna.
Her mother-in-law is in the Guna anyway.
Because she didn't come and testify.
Because we're not relying on this woman that, again, what if the woman would not have come in and said her father-in-law died?
Then she'd be married. In other words, her husband didn't die. Her mother.
Okay, so is she in the Guna?
No.
Yes, she is.
If she said, if she didn't come and testify?
If two people leave the Medina Zayam and we don't hear from them, what are their wives now?
Married women.
Igunas.
They died, the husband died?
Iguna means a married woman who's locked up. He's not here. An aguna doesn't mean a woman that's not married. An aguna means a woman that doesn't have her husband here. The two men went from Dinas Hayam. They haven't been heard about for 5 years. Both these women are igunas. One walks in and says, I was in China. And your husband, my husband died, and a week later your husband died. Now, since she wasn't a mother-in-law, these are two friends that went on a business trip, and one of the one's wives comes back and says, both our husbands died, both women can get married. But since one is her mother-in-law, we can't believe her. Rashi.
Why does that cause that argument again? We know the argument.
That's good one. Such Rashi. She doesn't have to take into account the edus of her tzara. She's not married, and she's not believed for anything. Even though she claims her husband died, she's no longer a daughter of Abi Nachris. We say, could be both of them didn't die, and she's trying to stick it to her mother-in-law. It's a machlokes. Talk to Gemara Tricha. I need... What?
Did she
serve
her
meal? Translate
the Gemara.
Did she
serve her meal?
You're not saving people from an aveira this way. By not believing her for Leia, you're not saving Leia from an aveira if you let her eat truma. Talk to Gemara Vaita Tricha. I need both cases. Yit mahach kamaisa. I would say, Bahakamar of a tire function, the tsara is a gufa. A tsara is a, suffered. She suffered physically. She shared a husband with another woman, and because of that, other woman did not get the attention, the physical attention from her husband. They were competing for physical attention of the husband, and because of the second woman, she didn't get it. Therefore, the hatred is a very, very strong hatred. And therefore, in that case, Rav Tarfon says, we let the woman eat truma. Because we say that Sarah hates her so much, she would concoct the whole story just to mess up the other woman. And as far as we're concerned, it's non-existent vis-a-vis Leah. Avo, chamaisa, the tzara, milu, the alma. The hatred to a mother-in-law is less than the hatred to a co-wife. Because the mother-in-law just yapped about her. So she said words about her. It wasn't a physical pain. Wasn't a physical withholding. It was a side issue. So the hatred is not that strong. So maybe it's enough to be believed somewhat. Maybe Rav Tarfon would agree she shouldn't eat truma.
She should not eat truma.
We need both cases. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Tzara de Gufa, Tashmish Menas Lami Baila. She's holding back Tashmish. Havada Mishakra, because they have a calculus, she's Tinase. She would lie just to get her married and get her messed up. I, the Ava Pishahidis, says she's getting married herself. Thomas Navshin pushed him. She died for me to mess my life up, just to mess my Tzara up. We're not so sure she's lying. And he'd last year, like Maham, that we don't trust her to get her married. So that's the Gemara. So the Gemara is saying that if it would only have the argument by Tzara, I would say by Tzara, the hatred is so strong, that's why Reb Tarfon doesn't believe her at all. But the Chamaitza, it's strong enough that we can't trust her to let her get married, but we're not going to say she's a total 100% liar, so maybe we shouldn't let her eat truma. Kamas Lundra and Pavin says, in both cases, we ignore her testimony. What? Oh, yeah, no, but then you wouldn't know Rabbi Kiva. If you told me the lesser Kiddush Rabbi Tarfon, it's the bigger Kiddush Rabbi Kiva. Meaning Rabbi Kiva might only argue by Kamaitza. So you need it by both cases. Now, the Taisus Arash asked the Kasha here, bomb Kasha, not that he needs my Afgama. He asks, the two cases are totally not similar. In the case of Tsarasa, her testimony about the Tsara is pertinent to herself. Her husband died, she's getting married, her Tsara is not getting married. In the case of Chamaitza, it's two different men. Her husband died, and her father-in-law died.
It doesn't impact her.
So Taisus the Rush asks, the cases are totally different. It's not like they're repeating the same machlokes. In the case of Tzara, we're ignoring her testimony vis-a-vis Leah, which is the same testimony that freed her. In the case of Chamaitza, she might be saying the truth about herself and lying about her father-in-law. In the case of Rachel and Leah, if she's telling the truth about herself, then Leah should be free. And if she's lying, she shouldn't be free. So, in the case of Tzara, there's more reason to say that we shouldn't let Leah eat truma. The bottom line is Rachel saying, I'm getting married. And this is the same impact Leah directly. As in the case of Chamaitza, she might be saying 100% truth about herself and lying about her mother-in-law. So if anything, the bigger Kiddush is Chamaitza. Even in a case where her lie does not affect herself, Reb Tarfon says she can eat truma. In the case of Leah, the bigger Kiddush that she can eat truma. Because the hatred might be bigger, but she's saying a lie about herself.
So that's the bigger Kiddush, she can eat truma. So Reb Tarfon is bigger by the Tzara, no?
He's the bigger. No. Reb Tarfon is the bigger Kiddush that Kiva is the bigger Kiddush by the Tzara. Well, Rachel is lying. If she's lying, she's impacting herself. Right? So there's less reason to believe she's lying. Again, two women hate other women. One is lying and is going to impact herself. Right. And Rabbi Kiva says she can eat. I'm sorry. Tarfon says she can eat, and Rabbi Kiva says she can't eat. Now, in the case of Tzara, we're letting Leah eat truma. Even though, there's reason to believe that Rachel is saying the truth.
In this case.
Right. And the Gemara said that Rabbi Tarfon is a lesser Kiddush in the case of Tzara. Because Tzara the Gufo makes us believe that you would lie more. Tzara Sarash is tining. If anything, in the case of Tzara, Reb Tarfon is the bigger Kiddush, not the lesser Kiddush. Yes?
Doesn't she have amigo? Because she's saying that her husband died first, and then her father-in-law. Whereas if she said it the other way, her husband would inherit her father-in-law, and she would be entitled to get some of that money. So why?
We don't believe in Eidecha for inheritance. No Eidecha can ever do inheritance. The money is put into escrow.
Oh, causing herself to lose money.
That second maid comes. It's going to have to be two aid. It's not a woman. She's not believed for anything vis-a-vis money. So there has to be two Adam, and we will believe the two Adam to whatever happened, regardless of what she said.
But she's not a
lamb.
She doesn't know.
She knows an Adam is not an Adam for money.
Of escrow. Leaving something escrow. It pays them forever, right?
Okay, not that I know, but I mean, that's a good question, because I don't know what happens 400 years later.
So, depends on a bulletin board here, somebody found a single glove, let's say, or whatever. Does that mean he's Mikuyev, I learned, that he has to hold on to it forever?
No. Rabbi Shlomo Talman, the Paiskim, contemporary Paiskim today, Paiskim, that what he does is, he figures out the value of the glove, and he writes down, I found the glove. It has these and these about him. And if somebody ever comes and claims it, I will pay him for that glove. And he can just throw the glove in the garbage.
For anything that they find.
For anything that finds that have a siman and it's not claimed. But if it doesn't have a siman, he can write down without siman on him, and if when the Leo Hanavi comes and tells me whose it is, I'll pay him. You're not mechuyev to have in your house, you made a shefa brachas, and you find a raincoat without a siman. So this raincoat's not going to sit there for a little.
That's what I'm asking.
So what you do is, you write down, I found it after you get sick and tired of holding on the raincoat. Nobody called you that they left the raincoat. So it's 5 months later, and it's poured a million times. So you write down, I found the raincoat, no simanim. It's worth around this much money. And when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and identifies whose raincoat it was, tells me, I will pay the guy back money.
Money in escrow over here.
No, you don't have to put... There's nothing to do with escrow. You're asking a Shabbos Aveda, not an escrow.
No, I'm going back to this. That's what triggered me off. So the money stays in escrow. Let's say the guy was 119 years old.
I said, I don't know what happened, though. I said, I don't know the law.
And then when you put a thing, everything's
going
to be thrown out in 30 days.
That's... I did the hacha, they walk into the show. The show has a right to make rules. The kaila has a right to make rules.
At the end of the year, when things are sitting there, you know, like, they're up there now.
Well, that's because they have a right to clean out their thing. What are they supposed to do? The truth is, the best is that it should be written all the time. We had the Shiloh camp. In camp, the people leave things all the time. All the time.
Become hefker, no?
Who makes them hefker?
It's
Simonim. You go through them, you find this and find that. If they, so they write in the application... All items less than 30 days, you are willing to be mafker. And then the person signs in the application. Not 90% of the people don't read the fine print. That's their problem. It's there. They signed on it. I wonder if they still do it when they do it online now. Everything's online. It used to be done on paper that way. I wonder whether the online application has that line. I should make sure.
So school has to do it also. Do they have to have people find the bottom line?
No! You walk into... That's different.
It's just a given.
It's a given. You walk into a show, you're coming in on their policy.
Whether they ever spoke out between the board members...
See, that's the problem, yeah. The president has that right to make that policy. Dr. Harris is right. The sign should be up there right now, not just 30 days before Pesach. You know, that's when usually it goes up. When they have to clean for Pesach, all of a sudden you see a sign. Anything not claimed by next week will be discarded. Nothing in my vita. I'm a review. I'm a shmua alach and kerb tarfen. She can eat truma. I'm rabbi. I'm a nanami tanina. We learned it in the Mishnah. Why? It says in the Mishnah the following thing. A woman went l'mdina sayam. She had no children. No children. Nabach. A woman, no children, went with her husband l'mdina sayam. She comes back 5 years later, and I make up 5 years. And she says, nitnli b'yabem l'mdina sayam. You should know I had a child with my husband. He had a child. My son died, and then my husband died. So I'm eligible for Yibum. She comes back and testifies her husband died. But she told us extra piece of information. When she left here, she had no children. At that point, she was a woman in waiting for Yibum or Chalitza. She came back, and she claimed she's still a woman waiting for Yibum or Chalitza. She tells us a piece of information that at one point she had a son, but her son died before her husband died, and therefore at the time of the death of her husband, she was eligible for Yibum Chalitza. So she's not changing the status quo. The status quo when she left was that she was eligible for Yibum, and the status quo now, according to her, is that she's eligible for Yibum. That extra piece of information changes nothing. So the halacha is nemenah. What if she says, Baili v'achach b'ni? What if she left here without children? She comes back 5 years later and says, I had a child, my husband died, and then my child died, which means I don't need Yibum for Chalitza. So she's changing her status. Ain't it a menace? However, but since she said that she can't have Yibum, we can't have her Yibum. She's claiming I'm not allowed to have Yibum. And therefore we say, Chalitza, no Yibum. Now, why did I have to say the Chayshish and the Dvarah? Just say, the Chalitza, let me say that. We make a dick. The Dvarah is the Chayshish. It's only a woman about herself that even when we don't believe her, we believe her partially. But if anybody else says something that's not believed, totally not believed. Shmamina. We're being medayed to her Dvarah. Her own words impact her partially. We can't believe her, but she answered herself from Yibum. But that's because it's her to herself. But to anybody else, if we don't believe, we don't believe at all, which is like Kuptar.
What's the Tzara?
The Tzara doesn't know. Again, there's no Tzara there.
What
is that again? By saying Dvareha, the Mishnah is stressing that the only reason we believe her partially is because it's her own words about herself. Had she come in and testified about a different woman, about something else, and we wouldn't believe her, we wouldn't believe her at all. It's a diuk. The reason we're believing her partially is because in her own words answered her. Not because we believe people partially. It's because she said something that we can't ignore about herself. She said, I can't have Yibum.
Now that, so what do we think with the thesis of the shash that was she didn't have any children?
Again, that her, she changed her status. Who says she had children? And then she's changing and saying, I don't need Yibum and Chalitza. I can get married to anybody.
Because my child died after my husband.
Exactly. Which we never know happened. See, there's no tzara there. See, again. No. Again. We're being medayik a case that has nothing to do with a tzara. We're saying, why did the Mishnah there have to say the words, Chesheshes l'dvareha? Just say, Ein in the menace, v'chaleses v'loy misavemes. By saying l'dvareha, the Mishnah is teaching us a rule. Usually when we don't believe somebody, we believe him zero. In this case, because it impacts her directly, we believe her partially. Not that this case has a tzara. Other cases, when she's testifying about a tzara that we don't believe her, we wouldn't believe her at all. In this case, because it's about herself, we believe her partially. That's the diak. And it's like from Tarfon that says, if you don't believe a woman, you don't believe her at all. Not that this case has a tzara.
If there would have been a tzara in this case, she would be allowed to marry.
Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Didn't leave bad. Isha Shalchim Baidlim Dina Tayyab. She asked to be kind of Hoyle Ben. She had no children. They met as Bechaskin Yibum. She was going to head for Yibum. Ubaz Raman didn't leave Ben Dina Tayyab. Umaze Beni Vakach Maze Baili. We mapkin Abshim Chazak and Kamaisa. She hasn't changed anything. She had died each week of the Yabim. The menace of Lutaris Luz Yabim. Ain't in the menace of Lutaris Luz Shukbul and Chalitza. The Kivan. Where are we? The Chiyamnu Rabban Elisha Abayi Lehemnu. They only believe in the Taiko Mitzvah. Avlafuki Napshim Yabim Lehemnu. She's not believed to say no Yibum. The Simna Nisangulay. She might hate her Yabim, and she's making up a Bubba Maisa that she had a son, and he died after her husband. Chashina Lutvarel, the Avka Napshim Chazaka, in Bo Yabim Li Abba, Loishav Kino Lavichalatzis. L'dvarea mi'uta bashma. Dvarea is an extra word to tell us we believe her for her own sake, but any other woman she's testifying about wouldn't be believed at all. I have no idea what you're talking about over there. I have no idea where he got it from. Who's he quoted from?
Yeah. The Mishnah, that is, the Mishnah implies that had she had a co-wife, the co-wife would be permitted to the Yavam, for the Yavam. But it's only with respect to herself that her testimony.
I don't know where he got that from. Maybe. Maybe that's the shot.
I thought she's not believed on the Torah anyway to say that he died. She has to stay remarried then. I mean.
Again, that's why I learned my way. Okay, we'll continue mentioning tomorrow.